Live
from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
ToadHopNetwork.com.
Radio worth watching.
Radio worth watching.
Live from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray
on the Toad Hop Network.
What's up, everyone? This is Brad Williams.
Hey.
And that's Adam Ray, and you are listening to the About Last Night podcast right here on the Toad Hop Network. And,
number three, baby.
Number three!
Woo-hoo. Woo! We made it. I didn't kill myself.
although you probably tried this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in Seattle visiting my family, and more importantly, my two nieces, who are twins and two and a half. And unbelievable, but also a solid method of birth control for me at this age.
I love that. Amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, here's the thing. We went to the zoo. I think that's what heightened the whole me not wanting to have kids yet. Seeing them experience animals for the first time was great. And but here's the thing about the zoo with kids that I learned. It's like most parents don't know shit about animals. I think most people in general. So I found myself like making up facts about every animal they asked me about. They're like, what's that? And I was like, that's a hippo. And they're like, what does he do? And I was like, he eats a lot of the, he swims in the water. He's obviously very fat and he's big and he's lazy. And they start asking more questions. So I was like, well, that's not going to cut it. So they're
what
like,
what does his diet consist
exactly.
of?
Exactly. Oh, and then one of them goes, he's like, so what does he do after he eats? I was like, oh, he's got a cleaning business Mondays and Fridays. I don't know. And I was just like making up. And then, and that happens constantly. But, I did find out though that if, I do change my name at some point from Adam to whatever. You know, a lot of actors have stage names.
Right.
One of my nieces suggested that it should be Peanut Butter and Jelly, which sounds kind of funny, but I'm actually not really opposed to that.
I think everyone would remember you.
So PB&J is an easy nickname already.
Come to the stage. You've seen him on According to the Gym.
And in your cans at home when you were a child.
PB&J.
Yeah, all right, maybe it doesn't. All right, maybe.
Well, you know. So you were back home in Seattle.
Yes.
I got to go to lovely Richmond, Virginia.
Nice.
Thank you to everyone that came out to the Richmond Funny Bone. great shows, and thank you to the guy who brought me a Tim Tebow jersey on Sunday.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, he knows that he follows me on Twitter, and he knows that I'm a little bit of a Tebow fan, and he brought me a Tebow jersey.
Wow!
So
didn't even know you just said, "Hey, here's a token of my appreciation."
And he tossed it to me, and in perfect Tebow fashion, he missed me by about 2.5 feet,
and decided to run it up to you.
Yeah, exactly. Decided like maybe I'll just hand it to you.
Yeah,
it'll be good.
Fair enough.
But it was a great weekend of shows. The only thing that really, the only sort of crazy thing that really happened was actually. This morning, Adam and I both literally flew in, him from Seattle, me from Virginia.
Yeah, we were both, I think, leaving at like 5 a.m. this morning.
So I had a 5:30 a.m. flight, and someone decided to pull the fire alarm at my hotel at about 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's always great.
That's great, when you're already knowing that you're going to get
only
maybe
a couple
two,
hours.
3 hours of sleep, and then the fire alarm goes off. But what I've discovered is that when you're in that mode of like REM sleep, you've gotten some good sleep,
who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I'll burn.
Anyone could say anything to you, and you're like, no, sleep is more important.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba could be at the foot of your bed in a nighty going, all right, big boy, let's go. And
here's
you're like,
your moment.
No.
No, sorry. I was dreaming about flying with the Care Bears.
And that was so much better. So
they came knocking on your door to wake you up.
Yeah, we had to go out there and stand out there in our boxers, and unfortunately none of the women were wearing anything good.
Right. That's always the one fire alarm fantasy is you're like, all right, well, at least if everyone's going to be outside, there's always going to be two girls that were just like, oh, my God, like, this is all I wear to sleep, and, like, I packed because, and there's 9 of us in the room who couldn't get out because they were in the shower together.
Right.
And you're like, what?
This
Holiday Inn is incredible. And free breakfast?
I'm coming back here. But, yeah, great weekends, and, more to come. But this is a very special About Last Night podcast because it's our third podcast, but we have, for the first time, a guest.
Another human to interact with.
Right. It's going to be fun.
Well, let's wait till the boys from the lab get back with that information.
Oh, already.
We'll see.
Yeah. That, my friends, is the voice of Ralph Garman. If you live in Southern California, you obviously know Ralph from the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a staple on that show. And you could also hear his podcast with Kevin Smith. It's called Hollywood Babylon. And they talk showbiz and crack wise and make a lot of anal sex jokes.
We do. Is this mic on?
Yeah, is it on? Can we hear him?
I don't hear myself.
Let's turn up.
It's freaky.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely setup you have.
You know, a little technical difficulties. It is. Do we mention it is the third episode? So yeah. We're still working the kinks out.
It's all right. Well,
the first guy begins. We only have two fucking microphones.
I will.
It really throws a monkey wrench into it. Hello.
There it is.
Isn't working either. Do you hear that?
I hear you a little bit more.
Do you?
Turn that up.
We are pro.
What if I just yell like David Lynch the whole interview?
That was the
great
we're
gonna... to be here, fellas. You guys are very entertaining.
Hello, hello.
That would be perfect.
Can
well,
you hear that?
The
Jesus Christ!
I'll great. Just hold the microphone like yeah. that. Just
well, while they're getting the microphone,
at least there's a nice little stuffed orca to hold on there. Look, he's even right. aware of the. He's like, I'm going to die if I fall off this thing.
Well, Ralph. Ralph
yes,
is sort
we
of.
Turn them all up.
Ralph
nothing.
Is.
We got nothing.
I can hear you.
You can hear
yeah,
yeah. You're in the same room with me.
Well, that's a good point.
Hello? Hello? Anybody?
See, this is the wonders of live podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's all my time, folks. Thanks, yeah.
Hey, Ralph, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, there
yeah.
we go.
There we go.
Now,
let's turn everybody up a little bit, yeah?
We have a professional show now. Woo-hoo!
Now, Ralph, real quick, do you mind if I just list off some credits to not only pat you, we can pat yourself on the back here, but also let our viewers know what they're getting of?
Yeah,
I mean,
they still won't know, but try.
No. I mean, all right. So, like Brad said, you've got your own podcast, The Hollywood Babylon. You're an entertainment reporter for the Kevin and Bean Morning Show here in Los Angeles on K-Rock. And you've done that for how many years?
12, 13 years.
Jesus.
Yeah. Morning radio for 12 or 13 years.
So you started.
Explains why I look the way I do.
You know what? You are very.
This one, which is good. This one? This is the better one.
Yeah.
You've got to figure it out.
Find a microphone, yeah.
You have countless TV and movie credits. I mean, I'm just going to list us. Doogie Howser, that's one that stands out to me that really makes, you know,
the
my.
Duke.
God, did you meet him?
Oh, did I? Fucked him.
Welcome. It says that
no, he was straight before he met Ralph Garman.
We didn't even know he was gay at the time. This
turn me up.
Is this the
no,
move
it away.
Okay.
Will you turn me up a little bit too?
We,
otherwise,
our
I'm
sound
like,
guy's going
literally
crazy.
Going
we're
down on
we
the
weren't
microphone.
Here an move. Hour ahead of time to work all these.
Yeah, no, yeah, next time, yeah.
Yeah, Doogie was great. He was just a kid back then. So
of course,
we were all just children.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Now your character's role was Brian, and here's the episode. Nothing compares to you. Mm-hmm. Now that just sounds like a classic. Like you know, like there was definitely a strong message being conveyed in this episode.
There was. I played a fanatical Sinead O'Connor fan. No, it was about his friend Ray, who was an African American.
I remember Ray.
EMT.
Yeah.
He finally, I don't know, he got some sort of degree where he was able to work in the studio. I mean, I think he used to be like an orderly, and then he became an EMT.
Right.
And we were giving him a hard time because he killed a patient. One of his first patients he dealt with.
That's right.
And so me and the other EMTs, in a very high school bully fashion, right. teamed up on him in the locker room and gave him a hard time. And he couldn't touch another patient because he was so rattled by what we had done.
Right. He didn't want to maybe kill
a second patient.
Right. Yeah.
So you
and now did the him being black at all, did that factor into anything?
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
We made merciless racial comments.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, you could always turn to Doogie Howser for intelligent
for
racial
yeah.
commentary.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what's going on.
I was one of the bully EMTs, but they cast another guy who was a black guy to be the other bully EMT, I think to avoid any
of course.
Image like,
gotcha.
Like we were being hard on Ray because he was a black guy.
Of course. What's ironic about this whole thing is that a black
there are two
guy...
two black doctors?
Right.
That happens?
But
what?
But a black guy wrote the theme song.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, that's not true. I made that up.
Cosby was the only black doctor.
Yeah. The only legit one.
I know Doogie Howser is 12 years old, but I had to be a little bit older when I started delivering babies.
You end every Cosby now, impression.
I was
going to
say, every Cosby
staple.
Impression has to end with pudding pops,
or,
isn't it?
Look at my sweater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, as you could tell between his David Lynch impression and his now Bill Cosby impression, Ralph is the man of, I think your nickname is now the man of 29 voices?
We upped it. I think it's 31 now.
31 nice. Voices.
31's nice. In the shoot.
But
it's like Baskin Robbins.
Right,
you're the Baskin Robbins of voices.
Yeah, that works out. And
now, Family Guy, you. I mean, a shit ton, huh?
I do.
56 episodes, it said? That's probably more than that.
That sounds a little light. I think I've done more than that. But,
yeah, do we got some? Yeah, we're still. You know what? I think by minute 47, we'll have this figured out.
That's actually not the microphone. That's Ralph's excellent impression of Megatron from the Transformer movies. Yeah,
thank you for gracing us with that.
I'm doing it.
What the fuck is going on?
Who's Friday
there
processor.
There it is.
Is that better?
Yeah, you sound a lot better now.
Yeah, I do almost every episode of Family Guy.
No
now,
shit.
So it's been a couple seasons that they've had me on every episode.
I mean, it's my favorite show of all time. Can you briefly just...
It's fucking brilliant.
It's as fun as it sounds, right? I mean, like, obviously, to get to do voiceover work is incredible.
I'm a big fan of the show, and I tell people that, and they're like, well, you should be. You work on it. But the thing is, when you do voiceovers... they just give you the sides. Mm-hmm. They give you your stuff. You don't get a chance to read the whole script. So I'll go in there and I'll record maybe two or three episodes in a row, and I'll do the doctor here or fireman number one over here and fill out a couple different roles, and then I'll go home and months later watch it on television and start laughing my ass off.
Right.
And say, oh, that's how that fits.
Yeah.
There you go.
But Seth is just, the word genius gets thrown around in entertainment way too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally think he's a genius.
For sure.
Because not only is he... a genius writer of funny, funny material, which is hard enough. You guys know how to come.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Somebody just writes funny.
Because he's overseeing maybe writing a good chunk of constantly peppering jokes up. And
absolutely. I mean, every script goes through him. He sits in. He's directing all the voiceover actors when we do our lines and stuff. He's in the room.
Wow.
And then he'll read with you, and he does Stewie and Brian and Peter, back to back to back, and they're completely
that helps
different
so
people.
Much so that you're not just doing it blind and wild.
It's incredible. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do.
Any favorite voice that you've done? I mean, you've done so many, just a variety of characters and impressions, right?
My personal favorite was when you played the abusive boyfriend, which was actually kind of your voice.
Wait a minute. That episode was... Wait a minute. The Quagmire's sisters?
Sister, yeah.
That episode was just... Oh, that was you? Yeah. That's fucking incredible.
The Story of Brenda Q, it's called. And I played Jeff, her abusive boyfriend, who eventually is taken out to the woods to be murdered
by
Peter.
What's one of the lines
Quagmire?
when he go get me a drink, and then he shoves her down, right? When they come in, they're like, hey, Jeff, and they're going to go take him out to the woods.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking... Dude, that's...
Shut up! I'm trying to watch Leno! He's hilarious.
Yeah.
He speaks to me as a mediocre-minded person.
Yeah.
Speaks to my common man sensibilities.
And then there was one joke you're like, I don't get it, but it's still kind of funny. Or
right. I mean,
dude, that's great.
And then
I did Ted Turner. That's when a lot of fans remember.
No shit.
I did the Ted Turner episode
with
where
Bill Gates, and they're all hanging out.
Where Peter's dog Brian knocks up Peter Schmidt's dog.
Yeah.
Seabreeze. I know way too much about this show.
Yeah,
wait,
more than I do.
Can we hear a little of the Ted Turner?
I think it was so long ago. It was one of the first voices I did. I forget. It's just some redneck
country bumpkin. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But
how much of do they give you? Because I know I do some voiceover, and like when I see animated things, sometimes they'll give you a picture of the character, right? But I mean, not with Family Guy. Yeah. You just,
because the roles that
I'm a breakdown,
I'm
and
the
then
utility guy. Yeah. So they'll break it down and say, this is just a doctor in one of. I do a lot of the cutaway stuff.
Right.
You know, when Peter says, this reminds me of the time when, and then they go to whatever, and I'm filling in the blanks. But
that's fucking
incredible. It's a blast. It's a great time. There's a great people to work with over there, and everybody. I mean, I've known a lot of them for a long time. Seth Green's been a buddy of mine for a while, and
you did some Mads. You know Lois or Alex Borstein.
Alex Borstein and I used to be in the same sketch and improv comedy troupe a million years
ago
called the Acme Comedy Theater, which was where
La Brea, yeah.
That's where you met Carolla too, right?
And I first met there. Yeah.
And that's you guys were roommates?
Yeah, we lived together for years.
Because people who listen to the Kevin and Bean Show know Ralph now as a family man. You got a lovely wife, daughter.
Yes.
But back in the day, you used to snort up coke like...
Like coke.
Like it was a drug.
It would.
Like it was
a drug
that you
that
needed
really
to get
good.
High.
I enjoyed doing a lot of.
Like it was a white powdery substance.
Right. That I could find for a reasonable price almost anywhere. That I would cut into long lines and just draw to absorb.
As if you were going to snort it.
My nasal membrane.
I mean, it's so crazy to me that you went from such a party lifestyle where you're doing coke, you're dating porn stars. I think you had a serious relationship with Ginger Lynn. Who,
TJ Hart, I dated her for a while.
Wow.
There were a couple of adult actresses.
It is crazy that you went from that to that, but I think that's a natural... I mean, obviously, since you've had a lot of success, I think eventually you get to a point where you're like, all right, fucking... it starts to affect the work, maybe, or what?
It didn't really affect
He has voices, for God's sake.
So I didn't really have to maintain any certain level of excellence.
There wasn't like one, like, you know, some people have like, they're like, you know, yeah, I mean, everything was fucking, I was partying all the time. And then like one night I got really fucked up and I drove to Cabo and we stole a boat from some kids and we fucking, and then we, you know, went to Disneyland and dressed up as characters. And then I realized I got to But you didn't have
I
any.
I never had a come to Jesus moment. No. Hey,
I guess that's what I was getting.
I bored with it, really, is what happened. Because I was a bartender for a long time before I started working regular in show business. And the bartender lifestyle is pretty much like show business without the money or success. But
right.
in terms of
yeah,
the excess,
job.
In terms of the booze and the right. drugs and the sex, that is mm-hmm. all there.
Right.
Only you're fucking a lower class before,
right.
and you're doing it on the cheap. You know, everything gets graduated a little bit.
Just downgraded.
So I've been doing that for years, and then I started having a little success in the radio, and I started parlaying that into, you know, higher grade drugs and pussy.
Sure.
And it was
if you
great.
Could refrain from the P word on this show, because we're trying to keep some sort of we've got like a handful of 12. There's a little league team in South Dakota that is big fans of Brad, and we want to keep.
Are you guys sponsoring? You're on the back of their jersey.
Yes,
yeah, right.
It's Harris's Lumber is the sponsor. Of our fucking yeah. No.
So I got bored with it eventually.
Of course.
And the timing was right because just when I was feeling like, God, this is kind of like the same old, which sounds mm-hmm. crazy. You'd think
because it's cocaine and. Pussy.
And booze yeah. and women.
But you were finding yourself in the same situations with the same people.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't very satisfying.
Every day I wake up inside a random hot woman.
Sure.
This is terrible.
Boobs and pancakes for breakfast.
You know what the thing with women is eventually there becomes, it's like one of those old time scales where the pussy is worth all the trouble. And mm-hmm. then slowly, as you get older and smarter, those scales begin to tip and tip and tip. And then
right,
you're
right,
like,
right.
if I have to listen to her say one more fucking thing,
right.
I'm going to take her life and then my
yeah.
own.
Right. No, there's a comic who goes up a lot at the Comedy Store. His name is Jackson Perdue, and he has a great joke, kind of like the same analogy where he's a little older gentleman. I think he's in his 50s, and he says, when it comes to pussy nowadays, I'm like a lazy infielder. If it's hit right to me, I'll nab up anything, but I ain't diving for that shit anymore. And I would think that that's kind of how that goes. And I know I'm only 28, but I go on the road now. And when I was 22, I would like drive three towns away to get laid. I'd be in a cab with some random person, just like, hey, let's see where this goes.
Of course.
But now, if she's not coming back to my hotel room, no, too much trouble.
Too much effort,
I don't want to have to worry about how to. What excuse I have to get to like leave your place,
and that's
like,
also a testament
not step
to
on your cat.
Of course, that's also a testament to the movie selection that hotels are now giving you, right?
Because
you're like, hey, you know what? I could go back. I could see Grown Ups 2
yeah.
right now at 4 a.m.
I missed Moneyball in theaters. Yeah. I got this.
I got Moneyball in Spanish and English and German.
In the bright lights, you don't look quite as good as Brad Pitt.
Right, right, right. No. Well played.
Yeah.
Now, was it?
So anyway, I had a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I did a lot of sex, and I had a lot of drugs and a lot of booze. And it was, and I always prided myself on being like not the sloppy guy. I
right.
was never a sloppy drunk. I never did too much blow.
You were the fun guy.
Where the paramedics had to be called.
Right.
I was always able to temper myself.
Sure.
And
somebody tells me you were like the almost like the center of the party more often than not. Yeah.
Not
or are you
so
able
much.
To energize? I mean, just
yeah. I was never like a needy attention whore. I just liked to have a good time.
You want to have a good time,
yeah.
but you didn't abuse it. You weren't doing it to just get blackout fucked up.
Right. And
yeah.
I always hated those guys who did.
Me too,
I
man.
I always hated the
oh,
sloppy drunks that you had to take care of and coddle right. and like you know save from themselves at the end.
Sure.
Because guys don't want to do that.
No,
that's,
I'm nobody's babysitter.
That's the woman thing where the leader comes over and holds the hair
yeah.
and they form the little force field around
yeah,
the
yeah.
girl so no guy fucks her in her weakened state. Which is
right.
exactly what we're looking for, which is so counterproductive.
Guys just get pissed off and annoyed, and then eventually, and that's why I think the drawing dicks on the forehead happened, when it was like, we're going to punish you for being what you are. We're going to put it on your forehead to let you know that that's what you had in your mouth last night.
That's the asshole tag.
Right. Yeah. And also with guys, I think it's just like, we always think, he'll be fine.
Exactly.
Like,
oh, yeah. He's a guy.
Like, yeah, he's a guy. He'll be fine.
By that standard alone, he should be able to.
He can't stand up. He's heading to his car right now. He's in a town he's never been in before. He'll get home.
Dude, he's got a phone. He's got a GP. Yeah, there's always.
Is it? That's Darwin in action. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think
survival of the fittest.
Let nature
right.
take its
I think,
course.
I think that's what we think of is great. Now I don't have to buy his round anymore.
Sure.
And he could just go
for sure.
Off
or maybe he was talking to the girl you were talking to as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors.
Or is it decoy for the cops so I can drive home safely?
Send him out first.
Yeah, exactly.
We leave 5 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's like the weak gazelle at the watering hole. When
right.
the lions go down on it, you know that you can safely get to the next grazing place.
Exactly.
So if your daughter grows up and comes to you one day and says, hey, I was at a party and someone offered me cocaine.
No. Deny.
Yeah.
Because I think all parents do it. You
sure.
You think you're the exception. You know, you
of course.
Were able to be a drunken pervert,
mm-hmm.
and then turn your life around. But
right.
you can never admit that to your kid because,
right.
God forbid, they take one footstep into that world, they're going to go right down the toilet and yeah. they're going to burn out.
And everyone's got their own path and experience, and the people she runs into aren't going to be the people that you necessarily were hanging right. with.
So I will lie to her and tell her I did none of those things. I was a saint
yeah.
and let her find her own way. But
I worked at the YMCA.
She'll err to the side of caution. That sounds filthier than anything I've done. Yeah. Work at the YMCA.
Well, don't say it like I said. You yeah. worked at the YMCA.
I was blowing guys in the locker room for Coke money back in the day, honey. But we've got more money. I'll give you the Coke money. You'll get the good stuff.
Coke money, and the guys really wanted the basketball court that day. So I had to step up in there.
It's a negotiation, honey.
I folded the towels. I dusted their balls. Anyway, what time is it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know that eventually, if I ever have kids, I'm definitely going to have stories such as that I'm going to have to hide, you yeah. know, of just, no, daddy never had sex with some guy's wife while the husband was watching. No, that never happened.
Give me back that video.
What did yeah. Is there stuff that you, I mean, obviously now with social media and just all the information being like, as soon as something happens, people can just make it, and it's, you know, there forever. Are there things that you are like, oh, thank God, like that fucking text or that, you know, email didn't go through or whatever, that's like...
Well, I lucked out because I met my wife when I was 40. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty much done with that part of my life, and I met her, and I kind of straightened up. And that was just when all that stuff was starting to happen,
oh,
you
shit.
Know, internet and Facebook and all that kind of thing. So I really dodged
right.
a lot of bullets. However, I am in Ginger Lynn's E! True Hollywood Story. So that,
nice.
That's out there. So
yeah.
eventually my yeah, daughter may be able to find that place.
Yeah, I think you and Charlie Sheen, right?
And Billy Idol. All the,
shut
all the
up.
Guys. All the guys.
All the guys.
You know the team.
I'm listed as the in between the famous people she fucked. Ginger Lynn met this guy. That's kind of how they couch it. But I was the only one who was willing to go on
You
camera.
Remember Brian from Doogie Howser, don't
right.
you? Yeah. The episode where the black guy killed somebody? Well.
Generic voiceover guy from Family Guy also got his turn on yeah. Ginger Lynn.
Wow. I mean, now I've had, I don't know if you call them relationships with porn stars, but they were somewhat that.
You have a huge porn star following.
Yeah. Brad has the biggest porn star following, I think, on the planet.
Every porn star I see on Twitter says, oh, funny Brad.
Funny Brad, yeah.
Show. I can't wait to see him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Brad. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's come to a taping. Yeah, bring your Jewish friend. Yeah. That's me, by the way. I'm referencing me
gotcha.
In the taping we went
Jewish
to.
Friend.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, I think for me, it's the same thing that I believe they're thinking. Which is just, this is just something new and exciting and something that they haven't done, or one of the rare things that they haven't done is a midget.
Right.
So they go.
Is that funny? About,
yeah. yeah. It's like, I've done everything else.
Seven different types of anal, but they've never done a midget. Yeah.
Right. And we hurt so much less.
You know what? Is that, that's a bumper sticker, by the way.
Right. Try anal with a midget.
Unless you try
we
spelunking
so
them and going in with the whole body. Or something.
What are you doing with that belay? You'll find out.
Just bite your lip.
Chilean minder with one of those helmets with a lamp on the front of it. Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Exactly.
Oh.
Hey, I want to give them a memorable experience. So I show up. I don't want anyone to come out of a one-night stand with me going, you know what? You didn't get the full midget experience.
Sure.
Didn't have it. I show up with all the stereotypes. I show up with the pot of gold. I show up with the Oompa Loompa wig and orange face paint.
Best
and
action figure ever, by the way, if you're showing up with your own fucking accessories like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Full body condom. Wiggle your way inside.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Some sort of like weird hologram of like Munchkin Land, so they can feel like there's other ones watching you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh man, I got some stories.
Yeah.
no, because like I've been to dwarf conventions, and dwarf conventions are
who hasn't?
I know, right?
Yeah. Come on, man.
And that's literally like 1,000 dwarves in one hotel.
Jesus.
So I've literally hooked up with a dwarf in the bathtub while like literally like 12 other dwarves were like drinking and partying in the main part of the hotel room and like pounding on the door like, we gotta get in there. Then you just hear, yeah, someone clean that up.
No.
And you're like, oh
Jesus.
God, I just caused that.
Midget vomit?
Midget?
Hey,
what does it smell like?
Skittles.
I was going to say, I didn't want to be rude, though. I was going to say some sort of fruity candy.
Absolutely. And I think that we should go into the commercial break
yeah.
on midget vomit. I think that that's...
Same with my band. I hope you pick up the album. We're playing the Troub this weekend.
Oh,
check
my God.
Out midget vomit.
I think that's actually the high point of the show. We may never top that. But we're going to take a quick commercial break and then be right back with more with Ralph Garman. This is the About Last Night podcast.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
is made. An enemy of someone I don't know, and they are upset about something that I must have done. It really doesn't make much sense, but I've got no statement in my defense. But I know, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what I do, somebody hates me. Somebody hates me. Did you misunderstand something that I did, or was there one of my jokes that you didn't get? Or do you think you got the way I think? I figured out, what did I say to make you feel not cool? Now, well, I know, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what I do, somebody hates me.
Back to About Last Night
on the Toad Hop Network.
And we are back. This is the About Last Night podcast, and our guest is Ralph Garman. Now, if you have a question for Ralph, whatever that
may be.
Keep
it to yourself.
Shut the fuck up.
If you have a question for Ralph and you are watching us or listening to us live, you can actually call us right now at 888-520-4374. That's 888-520-4374, and if you're listening to this a few days later on iTunes, go fuck yourself. No,
don't call.
And again, our guest Ralph Garman, entertainment reporter for the Kevin and Bean Show for 12 plus years, his own podcast Hollywood Babylon on the Smodcast Network, Family Guy, Doogie Howser, Eagle Eye.
Hey, don't forget Bobby on
Charmed,
House.
Bobby on House. NYPD Blue.
Got
Strong.
Bones coming up. Hey, where else
do you
I
really?
Pimp? Yeah,
do
I'm
you?
On Bones coming up.
That's
and,
a great show.
Speaking of Family Guy, you're in the new Seth MacFarlane movie.
Ted.
Wait,
movie
what?
Coming out
all
in
right.
July.
What?
Seth MacFarlane's first feature film as a director.
Trailer looks hilarous.
It's...
You've already seen it?
A scream. This movie is so... I mean, I'm obviously
you're biased.
Biased.
Doesn't matter.
But I was there when we read the first table read of the script, and people were falling over laughing just reading it out loud. I mean, it is a brilliantly funny script, and I think a lot of people are really going to like it.
Restricted trailer...
the Red Band?
Yeah, watch that. Don't watch the
right.
the censored one. The Fuck You Thunder Thoughts. Thunder.
No, you got it right. Yeah.
The Fuck You Thunder song is just, that made me die laughing.
The Thunder Buddies. They're Thunder Buddies from way back.
Now, are you a live action actor and you do a voice for it?
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
I play Mark Wahlberg's dad in Flashback.
Fucking awesome.
Because the premise is Wahlberg, as a kid, doesn't really have any friends, and he gets this teddy bear for Christmas. And so he wishes on the Christmas star that the bear would come to life and be his best friend.
When he's a kid, he's wishing
for this.
When
he's a kid, he's like 7 years old.
Gotcha.
And it happens. It's a Christmas miracle. And it's the movie starts off very sort of like Disney, lovey-dovey, Christmas
awesome.
Miracle
which is great.
Family film. And then they flash forward 30 years. And they're still best friends, but now they just sit on the couch just smoking.
And they grow up together.
Television. Yeah.
That's
two assholes who just can't get a job and right. can't maintain a relationship. And they're just two idiots. Only one happens to be a right. live stuffed bear, and the other one's a
I think
Mark
it's a,
Wahlberg.
It's a better payoff, too, right, if you have that contrast, if you start off and give it somewhere to build to where
Absolutely.
You get to... So you can see that the bear was also like the kid, innocent and sweet, and then they both kind of...
And it's funny because Ted the bear starts off sort of like a child star because it's a talking stuffed animal, becomes
right.
a big, big star.
Mm-hmm.
And then his career sort of goes in the toilet. And,
oh, for real?
And no one cares about him anymore. Everybody gets kind of used to it, so no one really cares. So he's like...
Yeah, because I was wondering about that because in the trailer, it seems like... No, like he's the bear is just reacting with everyone normally, and no one's going, "Holy fuck, a talking bear!"
Right. Well, he's been around for 30 years. Initially,
okay.
they were like, "Holy shit, it's a talking bear!" And I'm like, "Oh, there's that talking bear. I remember seeing him. It's like Gary Coleman walking up."
Right, right.
Well, yeah, I remember him.
Well, now
the ghost
Gary,
of Gary Coleman,
Coleman. Yeah,
would be interesting.
Holy shit, he's still alive.
I think people would be a little more excited than just, "Oh, hey, look at that fucking ghost." There's a ghost of a famous TV actor.
What you talk about ghosts?
What you talking about ghosts?
I love it.
I wish we could end on that.
Yeah, right.
God damn it. Well,
whatever.
Midget vomit. Let's somehow get that back in there.
Well, I'd like to talk about, first of all, Ralph. Ralph was very instrumental in getting me on the Kevin Bean Show.
How did you guys meet? Talk about this. Because you were telling me that he's pretty much the reason that you have this podcast and the reason that you are alive and the reason that you're and the reason that you're a dwarf. So
right.
I want to hear about all these things.
I was a 5'5" comedian. It wasn't going very well.
Ralph, I pulled him aside and said, kid, listen.
What you need to do?
Dwarfs are going to be in. So here's, I got a guy. I know a guy. He works out of a panel van off of Cherokee, just off of Hollywood. He'll take off, a foot and a half?
Yeah.
Take about a foot and a half off you.
I like that you became Larry King right there.
Yeah.
That was great. Ralph, we were introduced to each other at the Hollywood Babylon podcast.
Yes.
I believe, and then
I met you once before, briefly.
Oh, at the
at a live broadcast we were doing for the radio show for
with,
Kevin and Bean,
Miss Double December pageant, which is the greatest idea in the history of
what
all
is
the
that?
Radio.
Every year we do a, like a beauty pageant to find our spokeswoman for
Genius.
The year.
Oh my god!
And we do it in December, so we ended up calling it the Miss Double December competition.
Perfect.
With large-breasted girls, it was about 10 of them, and then we have a big event where the listeners come down and we vote on who's going to be Miss Double December for the upcoming year.
Now, how do the girls get rallied in? Are they just
they have to submit their application?
So pictures and everything have been
and everything.
Come through.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the archives of pictures that you guys have in the office are spectacular.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're only picking 10.
Well, we narrow it down to 10
right.
finalists, and then the listeners vote on who they think the number one should be. So we make it a manageable number because our listeners would...
There must be some insanely hot women that they don't even make the top 10, huh?
Not so much. Turns out not a lot of hot
in
girls
fact,
are trying to get into the radio.
In fact, only 2 of the 10 are good, and the other 8 are just filling roster spots.
There's a lot of other media out there that takes all the beautiful women out of
What's
the way.
What's that called, Ralph?
It's television
photographs
and movies.
Sure.
And by the time they get down to radio, a lot of the hot ones have chosen other professions.
Well,
TV needs a new weather girl every 5 days, so, you know,
They're just in the airport. Fuck it. Is it just me or weather? And I don't watch a lot of news, but the weather girl, I was just in Seattle, like, just on the TV, like, she was insanely hot.
Yeah, every time.
And I feel like
competing.
That's, like, I mean,
isn't there a lawsuit by
some dude?
Yeah, some dude.
A weather guy got fired to bring in some.
Yeah, I don't know who.
It was locally here in L.A.
He
applied for a job with KCAL, I think Channel 9 here, and they said, well, you know what, you're not what we're looking for. He's like, but I've got a degree in meteorology. You know, I've done this much. He's like, no, you don't understand.
He's like, my son is that kid from Charlie Brown with the rain cloud. I mean, I'm really tied to weather in my life.
I know weather. They said, no, we're looking for a hot chick because that's who people want to see. And
what
so
we
now
really
he's
need is tits.
Yeah.
we really
but
need
see,
that.
Who's watching me like, you know what, I can only pay attention to the possibility of thunderstorms unless I'm seeing fucking vagina and boobies. Then I'll maybe fathom the idea that there's hail tonight.
But it's Los Angeles. There's no weather to report,
exactly.
So they have to get your
attention.
Yeah,
all right, you're exactly
right.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But even Seattle, though, that girl was insane. I mean, I guess it's... But sex
Adam,
yourself, right?
Adam, yeah. She was the most qualified person for the job. How dare you?
You're right. You're right. Hey.
Stormy
Here we
Von
go.
Clouds. And she's the best one for the...
Stormy Von Clouds.
Just so happens her name was...
That was her porn name and they let it carry over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stormy Von Clouds.
Hey, we can use that. By the way, you want to be a midget?
I know a guy. Man, that panel van is getting some work.
Yeah,
so anyway, this guy shows up at a Miss Double December competition with his friend, and the guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, my friend's a midget. How about if he comes up on stage and starts humping the leg of the winner of the Miss Double December competition?" At this point, I'm like, half a dozen Jamesons in.
That sentence sounds incredible, by the way.
By 9:30 a.m.
Yeah. I say, absolutely, bring out your Mr. friend. Have him hump the girl's leg. And he did. He ran out there, and then I heard afterwards, oh, he's also a stand-up comic. I said, oh, sure he is. The guy's running around humping girls' legs.
He's got some jokes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it turns out I was half a Jameson in that day, so I was drunk off my ass.
Now, how far were you into comedy at this point?
That was like 7 years.
Okay.
7 years, yeah.
So it wasn't, okay, because I was curious if it was one of those things where you'd done stand-up 20 times, and you find yourself in this position, and you're like, yeah, I'm a comic.
No,
I'm a comic.
I got a full hour.
I'm going up at the Comedy Store next month, and then 2 years after that, I'll be back there.
Yeah, he just did it for fun. He just happened to be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because it's done at this bar in Fullerton called the Slide Bar, which is actually across the street from my house.
Yes.
So, yeah, you've been there a couple times.
Love it.
And so that's where we met initially. Ran into you again at your podcast. I remember the guy who partly owns this network, Frank Kelly, who also owns the Lovitz Theater. He was very instrumental in that. And I think the next day you started following me on Twitter. I didn't ask you to, but you did.
No.
And that's awesome.
Said, let's see what this guy's got. And I said, man, damn, he's funny.
Who knew?
Who knew?
And then when did you get to see him do stand-up for the first time?
I think it was at the Lovitz. I think it was before you were. You did a show before one of the podcasts that we do. Because our podcast we do with a live audience. And, and so we do the late show at the Lovitz. And I think you were doing the 8 o'clock show and we were doing the 10. So I came in a little bit early and I caught most of your set. And I said, damn, it's really, really funny stuff.
And you had retweeted several of my tweets, and you have amazing number of followers, and they start following me. So to thank you, I brought you a bottle of whiskey.
Wow.
And just for retweeting me. And basically the moral of the story is, people, alcohol will get you anywhere.
Absolutely.
In life.
Yeah, just about anything.
Booze, drugs, and women will grease the wheels for almost anything you want to get into.
You know how I can back that up? I used to work at Albertsons, the grocery store in high school, and I stole deodorant once, not because I couldn't afford it, but because we didn't get any discounts at Albertsons, so I felt like I was owed something.
Yeah.
So I stole granola bars, deodorant, and toothpaste. My boss caught me. I bought him booze. He said, we're all good.
Wow.
He said,
that's
like,
our,
I swear to God, that's a true story.
That's our life lesson. I gave you the bottle, and then you said, why don't you come on the show? And
we brought you on the radio show,
And
then I had you co-host with me on the Hollywood Babylon podcast, and you were a huge hit. So much that we're bringing you back this weekend.
I will be there. So
anybody listening this week in Southern California, come see me and Brad do the Hollywood Babylon show.
Yeah, where is that at? And what time?
It's at the Lovitz.
Okay.
The City Walk at Universal Studios, 10 p.m. on Saturday night, the 28th. You can go to thelovitz.com for details and to buy tickets.
Right. Now, this might sound like a stupid question, but live podcast versus this, a lot better?
Just different.
Just because you get the live audience.
Yeah, because we have 250 people watching, so you have to put on a show, you know? So ours
is because we're performing for ourselves pretty much right now and make each other laugh. But if you're getting the...
And that works. I mean, people like to hear that kind of stuff. It's just a different vibe when you're actually performing for an audience and you're counting on getting laughs. And, you know, so we have it a little bit more structured as a show. We've got recurring segments and bits and things like that, you know?
Right.
Audio and visual elements. You know, we put up pictures and video clips. And
sure. Well, we have bits. I mean, that Doogie Howser thing, we bring that up in every episode. So it just so happens.
Paper lanterns. I'm very impressed by it. Doing a podcast in a Chinese restaurant. It's very nice.
Exactly. By the way, did you want some orange chicken with your chow mein?
Or, give me some of that because my stomach is bothering me.
I gotta learn how to do more voices.
Right? You've got a couple character voices.
But I'll be honest with you, the voices I do, I'm doing impressions of Ralph Garman doing impressions.
You bastard.
Yes.
You're hearing from my lawyer.
Exactly. So
I gave you a career, damn it. Isn't that enough? Must you keep taking from me?
Absolutely. Isn't your lawyer Al Pacino?
I gotta tell you, Brad, it's a little shame how you keep stealing this. Is material. I'm telling you, it's bad enough. I mean, look at the guy. He's a wreck. That's all he's got is his little voices. And then you're going to take him from him? No. No way. I won't let it happen.
How did you start doing... I used to try to want to do a Pacino, but then, I mean, like, I feel like the starting with the, hoo-ha, that's where it starts, Charlie, like, kind of deep, right? But, like, how did you start...
I did a movie with Pacino.
Shut up.
Yeah, wow. I did a movie called Two for the Money with Matthew McConaughey and Al Pacino. And
it's a great movie.
I was in Vancouver. It's not a great movie.
I enjoy it.
It's a good movie.
I enjoyed it. I mean, yeah, all right.
At least he's honest.
I enjoyed it.
I was in Vancouver for a month with Al Pacino. And so wow. I never really did one. I did The Scent of a Woman like you were talking about.
Of course.
Like, ooh-ah.
Yeah.
I know him so well. Oh, call him Jack.
Right. That last speech at the end, I mean, you always want to try to remember his Any Given Sunday speech.
But I was started hanging out with him a little bit, and it sounds such a fucking bullshit showbiz thing to say. Yeah, I was hanging out with Al on the set.
Well, and instead of like that.
And by that, you mean you grabbed M&Ms at the same time as him at the craft service table.
It was very nice, and all my scenes were with him, so we actually would sit around and have conversations when they changed the setup.
And what were some of those, the highlights of those small talks?
Well, the highlight for me
was... Wish there were more green M&Ms.
The reason I got my new Pacino impression was because of... because of the conversation that I had with him, which was we were waiting on a setup, and one of the desks we were sitting on had a deck of playing cards as set dressing. So he picked him up, and he started doing card tricks for me.
Wow.
So I got Michael Corleone sitting next to me on a desk doing card tricks.
Oh my
and he
God.
Started by going, he spread out the cards and went, oh. And that was all it took me. That was the thing that stuck with me. So every Pacino impression I did from that point on started with...
Open mouth.
Oh. And then the eyes. Oh. All right. I want you to pick a card. For some reason, everything got bigger and louder at the end of every sentence he was saying. And I pick one and go, oh. Now, I'm going to tell you which card you picked. And you're going to be impressed. became what the ooh-ah was previously. It was just something you grab
the
onto.
The levels in his voice, like the way he kind of like you just did it, like starts off soft and gets... I mean,
starts all slow and... kind of confused, and then he gets adamant.
Because I think for right impressions, I mean, I don't know how you create yours, but obviously having things to emulate like that stick out, right? And that for him, I feel like that's...
I was talking to Jay Moore about this, because he's another guy who does killer
amazing impressions.
And we both came to the conclusion that you need something to hang your hat on in order to start working on a voice. If you don't have an angle, or there's not a sound, or a noise, or one word that you can pick out and say, yeah, I'll start with that, then you're screwed. Yeah, so that's the hardest part.
I was listening to Jay, and he was one of the first guys. I think he might have even been the first guy to do walking. Like, I don't really think a lot of people did walking until Jay Moore.
Yep.
And I think he said, like, walking just has the – when you do walking, you just have to make a one-syllable word a two-syllable word, or possibly three. So instead of bat, like – so instead of the word bat, he's like, it's a bat – and you just kind of like extend it like an extra thing. And that was like his tick that got. And now it's funny because now everyone does walk it.
Absolutely.
Like every comedian goes up there and goes, I can't do it when I'm in front of the master.
Sure,
I'm just trying to think.
You know, well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to do a walk and that was going to be terrible.
No, I do not want to stop that at all. Why am I stopping that train?
All right.
Next stop, shitty walking impression. Let's do it.
Here comes a very shitty walking impression. It will be terrible. I'm just letting you guys know.
Here we go.
Just stopping before you do an impression. You know, it's not bad, but it's not good either. What I can do is basically just Jay Moore doing walking. All right, Christopher Walken, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Thanks so much.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
You are trying, sir. You're doing more than trying.
Sure.
It's like I'm just in awe of guys that can do that. And like even Jay Moore, because I've heard people do Sandler before. And basically when they do Sandler, it's just a lot of habita. Like, it's just that.
Yeah.
And and then Jay goes into it just completely.
Yeah, actually talks like him.
Right. And then forms whole words. When you're ever watching TV, does some voice just come on and you go, I've got to do that? Or like, how do you get inspired for individual impressions?
I tend to do the ones that just come easily to me because I'm lazy. But if something happens on the radio show, like when Schwarzenegger became governor, I had never done Schwarzenegger, but if we were going
to
have for the next 4 years those
stories,
would have to work on that. So I just pulled audio and I started working and stuff. But Morris told me that he started doing walking because he had to do it on Saturday Night Live. He had never really done it before. He started doing it for Saturday Night Live. So sometimes necessity forces you to discover a voice you didn't even know you could do before.
Now,
you know?
Was the first audio clip you pulled for reference from Schwarzenegger, was it, get down from the water tower?
Actually, it was.
Kindergarten Cop, by the way?
It was Batman and Robin, I think.
What?
Batman. Mr. Mr. Freeze as Batman.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What was the, like...
it's going to be a cold time in the old town tonight.
I was like, oh, awesome. The worst
puns. Everybody.
That and the scene where he has no oxygen on Mars on Total Recall. When he's outside, there's no atmosphere. He's going... Yeah. I took all those guttural sounds. I said,
dude,
I gotta
and you're
work
doing
that
the face,
everything.
Though. That's what's brilliant about that.
Yeah.
the worst part.
This way, you know, every time I use the word J, I say ch. That was the other thing I found. He's like, yeah, when I was a bodybuilding, I used to impress the chuches. I was like, chuches? What the hell is a chuch?
Where did you grow up again?
It was the subtitling on this. Oh, it's the judges. Yeah, right. The chuches. Yeah, oh, the chuches were always impressed by me because I was, I was incredibly huge, but I also had, I was lean and oiled up. Oh, the chuches loved that.
He loved to get descriptive. Have you seen that YouTube video of him after a bodybuilding competition? He's talking about lifting weights. And he's
infamous.
Like,
the pumping iron.
Yeah,
scene.
I lift weights. I get the same sensation from lifting weights as I got from calming.
Yeah, and it's calming in a woman. Same. So imagine for me what it's like. I'm calming all day long.
I'm calming in the morning. I come in the afternoon.
Yeah. The churches like when I come. I'm into churches.
I'm here with two Schwarzeneggers and I look like Danny DeVito. This is perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's what the new twins is. It's two Schwarzeneggers and DeVito. And that's what the title is.
Hey, I'm sold on that
two
one.
Two Schwartzes and DeVito.
There's one impression you do that's my favorite, and I don't know where you pulled it from, why you decided to do it, is Edwin.
Edwin.
Edwin is my favorite impression.
It's
Edwin.
So lame and so random because very few people even know who Edwin is anymore.
Right. Yeah, and for those of you who don't, maybe his most famous role was the Mad Hatter in Disney's Alice in Wonderland. He did that voice in various.
He was in Mary
movies.
Poppins.
Did a lot of that's Disney right. Stuff. Yeah.
Who was he in Mary Poppins?
He was
the mustache?
Crazy uncle. No, the crazy uncle. I love to laugh. The one who's bouncing around the
no
ceiling.
No shit.
Yeah, that's Edwin.
Yeah.
And he was a huge radio star back in the day. Back
well,
in
sure,
the
with that voice.
And stuff, yeah. And did movies and TV and then sort of fell out of favor and did some stuff for Disney. And then I think he died shortly after that.
I mean, but how did you, like, out of all the impressions in the world, how did you go, Edwin, that's a voice I'd like to do?
That was one of them that I just did for shits and giggles for my friends that I would do to make them laugh. And then I needed a voice for the radio. We were doing some bit, and I needed like a crazy professor, mad professor
That's
voice.
Incredible.
Right.
And so I just started talking like this. Oh, my goodness. Don't you know? It's so dangerous, this experiment we're doing. But, you know, life is for the living. That's what I say.
Oh, my God.
And people are like, that's the craziest thing I ever heard.
You know what's
heard.
Funny? That's not a person that anybody spends a moment thinking about in their day. But as soon as you do that voice, you get tapped into, like, an entire world of, like, experience of, like, I mean, I immediately am thinking of that whole scene of Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland. And, like,
yeah. Great, great voice. And no one ever does it. So I just started doing it, and then some of the listeners started getting a kick out of it, and then they would show up to the Babylon show and they would scream out live, dude, Edwin.
That's awesome.
Stuff, so.
Yeah, I think on the last episode of Babylon, you actually had a guy think that he could do a dueling Edwin
did,
with you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, he didn't have a microphone, so you couldn't really hear him that well.
I'm still going to stack the deck in my favor. It's my fucking show. What do you think? You want to set him up and make him look good? No, I had to win. And I know what you're going to do because you think you do it better than me, too, Brad.
I don't do it better, but
you
but that's one of my decent impressions.
Doing Edwin.
All right, here's Brad Williams doing Edwin in front of the master while Adam dies. What's that?
Save it because this is the perfect time to segue into the second edition of our recurring bit.
Good, you've got a recurring bit. I like
this
that.
Is called, we did this in the second episode, it's called Celebrity Serenades, where we basically get celebrities to, over some sweet piano and saxophone, try to get their lady or step-granddaughter, in Morgan Freeman's case, in the mood. And just because she is related to me, she's a step away from my real granddaughter. I wish I could tell you I don't have a boner right now. I wish I could tell you. So let's get
I paid for the sex toys with Visa.
I know, he just kind of upstage you. I know, it's crazy.
I bought my granddaughter a rubber dildo. I paid for it with Visa.
The gold card.
So yeah, there's our sweet serenade music. And
turn it up a little bit more.
And we found out that no matter how absurd the voice, you can still sound somewhat sexy.
Sure.
So this is celebrities sidling up to the bar, young ladies at the bar, and they're trying the pickup line?
Exactly.
I got you.
Yep.
Exactly. So think of a voice that you haven't done yet.
All right.
And Adam, do you want to go first, or do you want me to do my Edwin?
No, I'll set it up.
All right.
I'll set it up.
Sure.
So bartender is sitting there. And
hi, how you doing? Can I get a Jack and Coke?
Jay Leno.
Oh, here's something, lady. Here's something. You hear about this? Apparently, 42% of women like to have sex after dinner. 42% of women. You hear about this? Yeah, 42%. Yeah, sex with Ben and Jerry. You know, I saw you sitting over here by yourself, and I said, ooh, look at those boobies. You know, here's a funny story about boobies. Last week, I was in Tallahassee doing stand-up, and I said to myself, I would love to rub my face in some tits right now. And here you are, and here I am.
Have you ever had a chin between your tits?
that's a key question. All right, so that's Jay Leno.
That's Jay Leno, and I'm going to do Edwin, which is the voice you just heard by Ralph Garman, doing it way better than I will do. But here we go.
Ralph, you want to play the bartender in this?
Sure. excuse me, miss. This gentleman over here would like to buy you a drink. Let me introduce you. This is Ed.
Oh my goodness, how are you? I was sitting across the bar, and I saw you in this dress, and I thought, oh my goodness, this woman has got to get fucked tonight. So I just decided to saddle on over here and start talking to you. And I don't even care what your voice sounds like, as long as you're a screamer. Are you a screamer, honey? I love it, because life is for the living.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Williams.
That was all right, right?
That was pretty good. That was strong,
man.
That was strong.
All right, I'm coming with it.
Now
we go to the master.
My turn.
Is there a special? I mean, we're gonna come back around. We're gonna go back around here.
Do another
a couple
round.
Times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just pick one of your favorites. We got time for a couple rounds.
How about Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
All right. This is pre-rape or post-rape.
Post.
Okay. Post-rape. Okay.
I like. I had to think for a minute.
Yeah,
like,
let me put myself in the right.
I'm more connected to post-rape, Mike. Yeah. All right, Brad. Let's have you play the bartender. Just set him up.
Excuse me, sweetheart. Before you start drinking that.
Yes.
We have a drink that was bought by the gentleman over here.
Oh, my God. Okay. Who?
Hi there. Nice to meet you. My name's Michael. I just wanted to say I think you're very, very beauteous.
Thank you.
I think it's tremendous how you're all dressed with those boobies that are coming out of your chesticles.
Wait, yeah, that's where they attach there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I just want you to know I didn't put anything in your drink.
Okay. Wait, I'm...
Because my raping days are really over.
Okay.
I'm rolling by pigeons these days. I'm just impressed by pigeons.
Wow.
Do you like pigeons?
I mean, I don't
hate
them.
Pigeons are incredible creatures.
Sure. I mean...
They're amazing with the whole wingatures.
I've had one before. Is that a word? I don't think that's a word.
And I'd like you to come back to my room with me and see my pigeons.
Who?
See my pigeons.
You really love pigeons.
If you don't, I'll just rape you anyway.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, did I say that aloud?
I think pigeons is metaphor for something.
It is, for roofies.
For roofies? Do you want to hold my pigeon roofies? That's fucking hilarious.
Mike Tyson picked up on a woman. A lot smoother than I thought it might be.
Yeah, time for at least another round. Yeah. All right. So next up here is Splinter from the Ninja Turtles. So go ahead and set me up.
All right. Excuse me, miss. This drink was purchased by this man. It's a glowing
or rat.
Way to fuck it up, Brad. this glowing green oozy drink was purchased by this rat over here. I think he likes you.
Hello. I saw you sitting across the table there, with your hand in your lap, and I couldn't help but think to myself, I would like my hand to be in your lap. Cowabunga. If you unscramble that word, it means, let's have anal. I realize I'm coming on a bit strong right now, but that's because I am raising 4 turtles. And the responsibilities of fatherhood as a rat are much stronger than that of an actual father. Anyway, back to the anal.
We're getting the 1 minute warning.
Oh,
so
no, let's get one more.
Yeah, we got to get one more from Ralph.
All right, quick one. Adam West, TV's Batman. Perfect. Hitting on a young lady at the bar.
Excuse me, sir. The scowl, miss. Are you? You know, I can't tell. I've been wondering. You're a transvestite, aren't you?
Yes.
Either way, this guy would like to buy you a drink.
Fantastic.
Good evening, young lady. My name is Adam West. Not only TV's Batman, but mayor of Quahog.
Wow, I'm very impressed by that.
Listen, I'm an elderly but famous actor, a TV icon, if you will.
Do you have a star in the Walk of Fame?
I do, as a matter of fact, thanks to my good friend Ralph Garman, who also gave me this bottle of Viagra. I promise you, it will be a short but unpleasant experience.
quickly.
That sounds amazing. To my bat room.
Oh,
Adam West, everyone.
Oh. Ralph. Wow. Dude, this was unbelievable.
Thank you so much.
I have to come back and do this again sometime.
You have to come back anytime you want. One more time, our guest, Ralph Garman. You can see his podcast with Brad, The Hollywood Babylon, this Saturday at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz.
Follow him on Twitter, at Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
And follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, and Brad at Funny Brad.
Yeah, and next week we will have a special guest. We can't say who it is yet, but trust me.
You don't have a guess. You have no guess.
Okay, you have a guess. You know the coach.
You got your coke. Shut the fuck up.
Special guest. We can't say it is. He's so special.
We don't have it yet.
You guys, and again, please subscribe to About Last Night on iTunes. Download us, and every Monday live from 3 to 4 and ToadHopNetwork.com. I'm Adam Ray.
I'm Brad Williams. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night, and please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.